Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. These are God's words. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So far God's inspired and inerrant word. The apostle is not just restating verse 7 and verse 8. In verse 7 he's talking about those things that he was confident in his flesh about when he was a Pharisee. And he says, those things that were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Now in verse 8, he's expanding the group of things that he's talking about, not just the things that he was proud of when he was a self-confident or flesh-confident Pharisee, but all things, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. So everything that he thought he had, he has suffered the loss of. And he says, and I count them as rubbish. And New King James is being a little bit polite. Some of you who have heard this passage preached probably are familiar at least with the sound of the Greek word skubalon. King James did better. Dung. Poop, children. Okay, the reason the New King James doesn't want to say dung is because dung means poop. And the apostle is saying, everything he was proud of before is poop. It's poop for being made right with God, it's poop for being made holy, and it's poop for coming into the blessing of the resurrection. I know! Aren't your works, if you're trusting in going to church, and you're trusting in learning your catechism, and you're trusting in all the good things that God has granted you to be able to do, but if you trust in them instead of Jesus, if you think you're safe because you got a hope well, or you're safe because you're in a good family, or you're safe because you're learning good theology, or you're safe because you're learning how to obey God like a good child, then the apostle says, all those things that you think are making you safe are poop. In fact, not only those things that we thought were good and do have a measure of goodness to them, if they're received from Christ as a gift, like we're hearing about in Hebrews this morning, that He is the author of our faith. He's the one that gives us everything from start to finish. There's nothing else in all that is, that can make you right with God, but Jesus and the knowledge of Jesus. There's nothing else in all that is that can make you holy unto God except knowing Jesus. And there's nothing else in all that there is that can bring you into the blessing that we heard about today, that even the saints who are souls of the just made perfect, but their bodies are still somewhere in the earth, they still haven't come into the blessing of the resurrection. And that's what he's talking about in verse 11. When he says, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. He doesn't mean that my body will come up out of the earth. All will come up out of the earth. He means the blessings that are reserved for that day, for those for whom it's a day of blessing and not a day of terror, like we heard about in Joel. in the sermon today. And he says, the only thing that can make that a day of blessing for you is knowing Jesus. There's nothing else that can, and everything else together can't. And so he says, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, that I may gain Him. And first of all, that I may gain Him for this right standing before God and be found in Him. So, how do you become right with God? Well, only by being in Jesus and be found in Him. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. The law can tell you what is righteous and what is unrighteous. When the law comes to you, if you're not found in Jesus, you know what the law says? It says wicked. Never says righteous. So here, as a Pharisee, he had been coming to the law without Jesus and trying to get it to say righteous, and he was telling himself righteous, right? Didn't he just finish saying, as concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless, verse 6. That's how Pharisees think. But when you come to know the law as it truly is and as it truly says, it says, concerning the righteousness which is judged by the law, wicked. That's the only thing it ever says about you outside of Jesus. And he says, well, I don't want to be outside of Jesus. I want to be found in Jesus. I want to be covered by Him and joined to Him. Because that's the righteousness that God has produced. And the only way you get it is by belonging to Jesus. And so that righteousness which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And so it says, look at the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus for this. God has given Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus is perfectly righteous. And when the law looks at Jesus, it doesn't say wicked. It says righteous. And so you hide in Jesus, and now when the law talks about you, it sees Jesus, and it says righteous. So everything else put together for a right standing with God can't do anything. It's loss. But Jesus by Himself, knowing Jesus, being found in Him, He is excellent for a right standing with God. If you belong to Jesus Christ, He is excellent for that, making you right with God, and He declares you righteous. But not just declaring you righteous, but also for making you holy. That I may know Him, and there's two problems we have here. One is we have no power, and the other is we have no goodness. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. You see what He's saying? He's saying, there's nothing else in all that there is that can give me the kind of power that I need to be made like Jesus. I cannot make myself more like Jesus any more than I could raise myself from the dead. And there's nothing else that can make me like Jesus any more than anything else can raise me from the dead. The only thing that can make me like Jesus is the resurrection power of Jesus. So he says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Power to do what? To be made holy. Well, how can we be made? Only by having fellowship with His sufferings. And the fellowship of His sufferings being conformed to His death. Now you say, well, what is this fellowship with His sufferings being conformed? Well, maybe you need a beard so you can stroke it. What is the fellowship of His sufferings being conformed to His death mean? And you think about all these things like, well, it means I'm glad to suffer and I suffer patiently under Him and I open not my mouth just as He opened not His mouth and I entrust myself to God who judges justly. And that, like Peter says, 1 Peter chapter 2, you learn obedience by suffering, like the book of Hebrews says. And there are a lot of things that suffering well by faith in Christ, a lot of our holiness is informed by that. But the apostle is actually referring to something he was talking about at the beginning of the last chapter, isn't he? When he said, have this mind in you that was in Jesus Christ. Who for him, equality with God was not something to be grasped, but he humbled himself. Humbled himself to what? to take the form of a bondslave, be found in appearance as a man, and even unto death, and that on the cross. That's the goal of sanctification, isn't it? Isn't that what he's talking about when he says, now you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? You say, great, see ya, I'll go do that. No! For it is him who works in you both to will and to work according to his good pleasure. So now he says in chapter 3 and verse 10, the power by which he works in you is the same power by which Jesus rose from the dead. And so you think about Jesus Christ and his body in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights, and you think about the almighty power by which he rose from the dead. And he says, working out your own salvation so that you humble yourself and you don't think highly of yourself, nothing out of pride or selfish ambition, considering others better than yourself and receiving whatever the Lord gives you to do, even at great cost to yourself, even if it's great suffering, and even if it's dying for him, that the power to do that with the mind of Christ comes from the resurrection of Christ. So thinking about what he's saying in verse 10, in light of what he said in chapter 2, what else is there in all that there is that can give you that kind of holiness? You can't go to a self-help group and get up and say, yeah, hi, my name's James, and I'm addicted to pride. And you know, get out of that self-help group the resurrection power of Jesus. You can't follow your 12 steps and say, oh, well, my higher power is going to be a light bulb. Or whatever it is. And your higher power can't be going to church or the big genie in the sky that is okay with all your sin and just wants you to be okay with it too, that gets preached under the name of Christ in a lot of the churches. No. Everything else is worthless except knowing Christ Jesus, your Lord, for being conformed to him in the fellowship of his sufferings. And then when he says, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, he's not saying, oh, I hope this will work. He says, it is obvious that this is the only thing that can work. The knowledge of Christ Jesus, your Lord. So, if you reorient your priorities and your desires to being made right with God, being made holy, and coming into the resurrection from the dead as the day in which you come into the fullness of everlasting blessedness. Okay, that's what we should be going for. Suddenly everything else put together has lost its value, hasn't it? It's worth zero compared to knowing Jesus. And anything that you're tempted to trust in from yourself, it's poop compared to the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, your Lord. But he is excellent for all those things. If you know him, if you belong to him, if you are found in him, then you are right with God. Then the power of his resurrection is the engine that is powering your being made holy. And you will certainly, by him, attain to that blessed resurrection from the dead. The knowledge of Christ is excellent for these most excellent things. So aim at those things. Don't aim at less with your life. Don't aim at less than being right with God, being holy, and coming into the everlasting blessedness of the saints at the resurrection of the dead. And if you're not aiming at less, then certainly do not rest upon anything less than the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus your Lord. For that is the only thing that can get you those three other things. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, what a marvelous passage. Because what a marvelous salvation. In all of its marvelous parts, you have given us in your Son, who is beyond all our marveling. And so we pray that you might seize our hearts with the excellence of the value of Jesus, and that you might set before us justification and sanctification and glorification, that we might not aim at less, and that knowing Christ, you would make us sure of each one of those things in him, that he is excellent for making us right with you, that he is excellent for making us holy, that he is excellent for bringing us into infinite and everlasting blessing. Grant it, we pray, for we ask it in his name. Amen.